Yeah. Okay. I see you, mama. I see you, Kelly. Okay, babe. Yeah. Woo. Okay. Go, mama. Go, Kelly. Go, Zulu. Yeah. Break it down now. Break it down. Okay. I see you. All right, let me tune it down a little bit.
Hi, Daddy.
Hey, son. Okay. Here we go, guys. All right. Guys, it's episode 9, All 7 the podcast, The Savages. And before we get started, I must disclose to the fact that this content is not suitable for the persons under 17 years of age without adult supervision. So please go ahead and remove any, you know, youth that do not apply out of the room or out of the car, or just simply turn it off until you're available to listen to this. I'll give you about 3 seconds, starting now. 3, 2, 1. Okay, well, in the studio today, or in the cove, we got my children here, my oldest son and my oldest daughter. You guys say hi.
Hi.
Okay. Mm-mm. You guys love mommy and daddy? You guys know we love you? Mm-hmm. Is there something you want to tell our listeners? Anything?
Hi.
Kelly?
Jobless daughter.
Okay. Jobless. Well, so you guys, it's late. You guys have to go and, you know, get to sleep. So mommy and daddy can do it. But everybody, just say bye to everybody.
Bye.
Say
bye. Bye.
Okay. You guys gonna close that door tight. You guys gonna take the phone?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bye, guys.
Love you guys.
No. Close the door, mama.
So, anyways, getting back to it. It's episode 9. Let's get into our intro and let's get things popping. I'm excited. We're getting this rolling, man.
Yes.
Okay. Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, whew, welcome to Aisle 7, the podcast. My name is Savage. This is my beautiful wife,
Liti.
And we're at the Cove right now, our home base of operations. This is Beach Talk for the Long Walk. I don't know if you notice anything different. You notice anything different?
Man.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, what's that say right there, job bless? You know? Beach Talk for the Long Walk. You know, we just got to fill ourselves a little bit. If you guys don't know what's going on right now, we're kind of... We got our sweaters on, our Aisle 7, the podcast 7 sweaters, and we're just kind of flexing in the cove right now, so, you know, if you can't see it, you'll see it on YouTube later, but definitely we are feeling ourselves because we put a lot of hard work into this. But anyways, for our feature, on today's episode is none other than the infamous census. So if you guys haven't already received yours in the mail, you know, by April 1st, you should already have it. But if you did get it before then, please, ladies and gentlemen of the Pacifica community, specifically, please, we got to start filling these out now and getting the information back into the Bureau so we can get these numbers recorded. Once again, it's for these programs to take care of our people and for the future generations. Anything to say about that?
Yeah, and just stay aware, man.
Okay.
Stay aware.
We here would like to thank our sponsors, Anchor, for the free distribution of our podcast. We do not take that lightly. And at the end of the day, it's all about self-progress. Today's episode is dedicated to the life of actor Pua Mangasiva. He starred in such shows as Power Rangers, movies like Sione's Wedding, both 1 and 2, 30 Days of Night, The Other Side of Heaven, just to name a few. And we just want to commemorate him for his... you know, his contributions to the Pacific Islander community. For our Pacifica people, he comes by way of New Zealand, and I think he is Samoan born. But other than that, you know, we here at Aisle 7, the podcast, appreciate your life and your efforts to put our people on the map and open a doorway for our people. So thank you.
And,
may he rest in peace to Pua Mangasiva. Our thought of the day, happiness. What makes me happy? What really and truly brings me joy in life? Is it God, family, or a hobby? Whatever that thing might be, we hope that you have it or are in pursuit of it. We should never sacrifice our own happiness for someone else, a job, or money. Happiness is priceless. As cliche as that sounds, but even rich people can have money and not be happy. Mm-hmm. All we hope for in this life is to be happy. however long we might have it or are fortunate to just grasp it. We pray happiness in your life. Song of the day. So this one is really nostalgic. And, you know, I'm always asking you where you were at when you first heard this. But this one, I have a feeling you're going to definitely remember wherever you were at when you first heard this. But comes by way of Mariah Carey, Touch My Body, which was released in 2008. Do you remember where you were at when this came out?
I just graduated.
So do you remember hearing this song?
Yeah.
Where did you hear it when it first came out?
It was already after graduation, but
Were you feeling it? It was one of your songs in your playlist?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always thought it was Mariah Carey.
Okay. In the place to be, yeah. It's all seven, Savage and Lee Deep, yeah. Know me, I know you too. Make sure I be all up for you. We both told me 102. Yeah. Okay, if it's a camera, definitely. So that's, once again, Touch My Body by Mariah Carey, released in 2008. Go ahead and tag us to a video of you vibing to it at @owl_7_thepodcast. And just feel it, man. Get nostalgic, go back in time, and remember a good time when this song came out. Anyways, moving forward. Number of the day is, would you like to read that? Number of the day.
1950. If you come across it,
dwell in the moment. Yes. Once again, that's 1950 or 1950 or 1950. Wherever you are, dwell in the moment. How we're going to attack negativity today. Betrayal. Have you been hurt by someone? Those close to you? So close to you, they were damn near family to you? How did it make you feel? What did you do about it? Did you get over it? Are you figuring it out currently? Are you at peace? We pray that you are okay and that you get through it strong and carefully. Honestly, we don't know the answer to get through betrayal, but we know it's possible with God and family on our end. So brothers and sisters, peace unto you. Mm-hmm. Color of the day. Would you like to read that?
Purple. If you see it, say it.
I don't really purple. See no purple.
Yeah.
Where do you see purple at?
Right over there.
Oh, well, on the iPad. Okay.
Like candy.
Yeah. Once again, the color of the day is purple. Our person or persons of the day. Now, this one was really a toss-up because we really do admire both these gentlemen. But you know what? We went ahead and put both of them on today's episode. So persons of the day you can look up and learn about today is Muhammad Ali, or a.k.a. Cassius Clay. No, that would be backwards. Cassius Clay, a.k.a. Muhammad Ali, and none other than Eastern influence himself, Bruce Lee. So if you don't know who those guys are or you're unaware of those men, please go ahead and look them up. Do your research on them so you can get a better understanding of who we look up to and mold our understanding behind.
You saw my son. He looks like Bruce Lee.
Hair-wise. He doesn't act like him. Anyways, no. Moving forward. Quote of the day. Would you like to read quote of the day?
Sometimes questions are more important than answers.
That comes by way of American poet Nancy Willard. She said, sometimes questions are more important than answers. Go ahead and, you know, feel that out and take it how you take it. But that's very deep, and we here at IO7 the podcast definitely appreciate that from Mrs. Willard.
Yeah.
Goal of the week. So last week, yeah. We're not going to talk about last week's.
No, we're going to talk about it.
No, I don't want to talk about it because let's just say we didn't complete the goal.
No, we did not.
But yeah.
With all these cravings and everything, I have to say it was.
Shout out and blessings to our pregnancy, to our soon to be son who will come here in about a month or two and a half. Okay.
Yeah.
But fuck you, coronavirus. So our goal of the week this week is tell those closest to us, I love you and mean it. I love you.
I love you.
Okay. And I love you guys too. Our influencer we would like to highlight here on Aisle 7, the podcast, is @LaughWithPack. He's a young and aspiring, I believe, influencer or, you know, comedian on Instagram. Dude is a young man, just very, very gifted with the talent of comedy. Very hilarious. His content is very pure and, I guess, innocent, you could say. But he's a Tongan kid. I believe he's Tongan. Maybe Samoan. I'm not sure. But I believe he's Tongan. And he's from, I want to say the Bay Area or Utah. But go ahead and look him up on Instagram at Laugh with Pack. Very good content. I love the dude. Content. Wouldn't be surprised if we're related. Who we want to give congratulations to. There's really no one we could give congratulations to. So on today's episode, episode 9, we would like to highlight and give congratulations to our U.S. military, mm-hmm. every branch of the military, for the unwavering and selfless efforts to serve and protect our way of living. We want it to be known that we, Aisle 7, the podcast, support our active servicemen and women for the defense of our country and people. Since I was young, I was always taught by my family to shake the hand and thank a veteran. It goes without saying that we enjoy our liberties, but they do come with a cost. So congratulations to every soldier who served, serving, and will serve in representation of America.
Yes.
We love you guys. We pray over you and we say thank you. Today's workout tip, 1 mile walk, jog, or run. Now, due to the times right now, obviously, it's kind of feeling a little bit limited to doing that because of the coronavirus scare right now. But if you can get it done, please get it done. Even if you do it in place in your own home, we just implore you to stay active in these times, because one way to prevent coronavirus is staying active and eating healthy and also being clean. Our video of the day comes by way of Chris Onkolo. Chris Onkolo, he's a Tongan comedian. I believe he's from New Zealand or Australia. Mm-hmm. And if you go on YouTube and search him up, Chris Onkolo, like I said, he's a Tongan comedian, man, and he's just a very funny dude.
From Utah, no?
No, that dude is not from Utah, not with his accent. But Chris Onkolo, go ahead and look him up on YouTube and have a good time laughing at that dude.
It's hilarious.
We are at the part of our segment, opening statement. Is there anything you'd like to share or say before we get started with our discussions today?
Man, stop living in fear. That's going on right now. I think the best way to do anything right now is really focus on yourself and know that there is something bigger than what we're dealing with. I'm not saying that there's nothing going on right now, but this is the time where you got to activate your faith and
really get into what you believe in. Yeah, that's beautiful. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. My opening statement, I would like to say, monkey see, monkey do. And in meaning of that is that be careful of what you do around your kids. Be mindful of what you do around kids, period. Monkey see, monkey do.
Mm-hmm.
Prayer point. You guys know this part of our segment is very deep and meaningful to us. If anything, this is the most important segment of our show because we can't do anything without prayer. So it's about reflection, reminiscence, and where we want to go in the future, but just focusing on those who came before us and praying to that which we believe in. So we'd like to take this time and ask you guys for a couple seconds of silence before we get started today, starting now. Okay, well, I'm good. How do you feel?
Thank you.
Yeah. We're definitely doing great. Mm-hmm. We're doing great.
Yes.
And we just want to thank you guys for riding with us 9 episodes in.
9.
And this is deep. But we just want to say, hey, if you or anybody you know is infected with coronavirus, we're not only praying over you, but a speedy recovery. We pray that you're not only healed, but you are in the process of healing, if not already.
Yeah. And just praying for peace over all families all over the world. And just know that this shall pass, you know.
It will pass, just like every other.
Just like everything that we're going through. This is nothing new, so continue to stay strong, man, and just believe that everything's going to be okay.
Yes, definitely, definitely. This is a good time to fall back to your faith.
Yes.
If you're not in faith. So, with that being said, fuck you, coronavirus, once again. This part of the segment is one for the haters, and that's for... Wow, that's embarrassing.
That was coronavirus.
Jesus Christ, that was coronavirus as hell. But go ahead, get a snack, get something to drink, drive slowly. If you're not driving, be careful.
And be safe.
We'll come back. All right, then. Go get you something to eat and snack on. All right, guys. We have returned. We are getting ready to get into our subjects of discussion. Today's 7 topics to speak on. Number 1, secondary parenting. Number 2, molestation. Number 3, condoning. Number 4, divorce. Number 5, child support. Number 6, isolation. And number 7, the church. What would you like to discuss today, my love?
Child support.
Ooh, okay. This will probably be brief, but the reason why I wanted to speak on child support, and you know this very well, I'm not going to bring up names, but we know someone, a man, who is dealing with child support, and his kids are grown. They're no longer children. I don't know how child support works, but I believe there should be a cutoff date at some point in the child's development. I'm not really aware of how child support works. I just know that when it's slapped on you, you not only have a responsibility as a person or a man or woman to take care of those children, but you are, I believe, you're no longer with the spouse, the baby mother, or however that works. So you have to take care of things on your end financially. But who we're speaking on specifically, and this is experienced from what we talk about, we're not talking out our butts. A man that we know is dealing with child support. He's in his, what, 60s?
Yeah.
And the significant, or the divorcee or divorcee, she's in her 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still slapped with it, and he's still dealing with paying child support at this age now. And the children, which he has 2 kids, are damn near in their 30s to 40s. So, yeah, would you like to speak on that?
Yeah, it was the reason why I brought it up too, and was speaking on my behalf.
Oh, okay.
And it's not to throw anybody out, you know, and just keep in mind, when we choose this title, is really things that ourselves deal with, you know, it's experience.
We're dealing with.
And it's not to knock people or it's not to say that we're better than anybody or anything like that, but it's real life experience.
And we don't want to hold
and
it in.
We're not holding it against anyone, or we're not insensitive to anybody's feelings or anything like that. It's just real, like, real experience. I have to go back to how it all started. I never knew what a child support was up until, you know, because I grew up with my mother's side.
Sorry, I don't mean to make so much.
No, it's okay. I didn't really know how it works, what it does, what it can do to you, to a person, and all of that. Like, I didn't know that it come with consequences. So, fast forwarding it to now, I am now 30. And, you know, it's still that this is still an ongoing case. And the reason why I brought that up to where we talk about it is because of decision that people do make. And for me, child support does help, but I would also say that it also doesn't help. It doesn't change, you know, like, anything, because my mother raised us, and even at that.
Okay, so we're establishing who we're talking about.
Yeah, I said in the beginning, it was my own experience.
I just didn't want to be.
It's about me. It's
my wife's father.
And the thing is not to put my father out, because I love my father.
Love him.
I've loved him for him. And the thing is, now it becomes an issue to where we're in the middle, or like, can you take that child support off of my name? Because either you're not getting a job, or you're just. You know, and it's also not fair, because I also have half siblings, and now it's blocking him from providing for his kids, for the other kids.
Yeah.
And for me, it's not that we
after this marriage.
Yeah. I don't mean to throw them out, you know, to be very honest, but just to really bring that, like, fathers out there, and even mothers, man, like, really. Really do your job. You know what I mean? Really be there for kids. I know there's circumstances that is different and it's hard, but like for me, I had to deal with having to choose whether if I'm gonna go against my mother or go against my father. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
Like whether to stop the child support or not. And to be honest, it doesn't help anymore, but because some people don't heal the way other people do, it can become like an ongoing thing. Do you get it? Do you get what I'm saying? So with my case, it's been since I was what? I don't remember. Probably like 2 or 3.
Since before you left the Tonga?
Way before that.
Oh.
And so because he wasn't able to get a job, or get a legit job, he's not able to pay up to the amount that they're given. So now the amount that it stack up or that he owes, it's gonna go on until he's no longer in this world. And that's a really sad situation, you know, because I know that child support does end at 18, but with a case like this, if you don't pay anything, you're gonna have to owe up to whatever you owe. So I think that for me, the solution on that is just really take care of your business, to be honest. And I'm not knocking my father and I'm not knocking my mother of whatever the case may be, because I don't know what happened during the time because I was gone. But to be honest, if I could remove it or I could do anything about it, which I cannot, only my mother can, I can help. But for right now, it's out of my control. I can't, you know what I mean? Like, I can't really do anything about it. So that's what I have to say about child support.
Okay, yeah. Truthfully, I have nothing to say. I have no two cents. I don't even have insight on this because I didn't have to deal with that. But I do say this, that if you're paying child support, or you know someone that is, or is in a situation similar to, or whatever they're dealing with, hey, I just pray that you're not only taking care of your responsibilities, but that you're not being done wrong as well. Because there are cases where people get done dirty in these situations, and I don't pray that on nobody. Yeah. But there are good parents out there, and I just hope that, you know, we as human beings and humanity and Pacifica people are just going about it the right way. So I pray that over you guys, that you guys are okay.
Yeah, and also, like I said, and this is real things that we talk about, and it's not to throw people out or anything like that. It's just like there's a situation that can be, you know, fixed and stuff like that. And with that, I pray that whoever is dealing with any of that, man, just know that I pray peace over you guys and things like that. So.
Yeah, so moving on. Yeah. What I choose is molestation, or in better terms, or better clear vocabulary, sexual assault. I don't want to be brief about this, and I want to be very clear about what I'm talking about. In that the Pacifica culture, and I'm not just talking about Tongan, I'm talking about, you know, Samoan, Hawaiian, you know, Maori, whatever you want to claim or put the label on, as far as coming from the islands. And it doesn't have to be the Pacific Islands too. It can be any, really. I'm just speaking from experience, because I know people very close to me that have dealt with being touched as far as trauma, and never really letting it out, never really dealing with it, and seeing as how it molded them mentally. You know what I'm saying? It really fucked them in their head. And you know, I really pray healing over these people who've dealt with you know, sexual assault, molestation, rape at a young age, or even now, or whatever age they're dealing with, because it is very normalized in our culture as far as the Pacific Islands. And I don't want that to be a normal thing where people, and I'm not just talking about coming in from the islands, it happens here too in America, but normalizing the fact that these people that are in our family doing it to others, that even though we love them that much, it's not something to sympathize with. If you're doing this, or you know anybody that's going through this, put them out on Front Street. That's the only way we heal and break these crimes. That's what they are. That's what they legitimately are. They're fucking crimes committed against somebody, not only innocent and pure, but not knowing of what's going on. You know what I'm saying? It's not a fucking game. If you know anybody who's being touched or is being sexually assaulted or molested, please speak up and save somebody's life, because it may not be life or death now, but it can push them down a dark path and a dark road that can do some pretty bad things to those people, man. So really just be mindful of that. I can't speak from my personal story, but people that I know very close to me, like damn near family or just family, it's not only hard to talk about, but I'm just saying, I'm gonna be an advocate. If you know anybody, please stand up. And even if you want to contact us, I'll send the podcast, please do, babe.
Yeah, I think that's a really sensitive topic, you know, because I, just like my husband said, we've known close people to us that's still dealing with it to this day. And it's, I think for me, it didn't happen to me personally. I can tell you that. But I've been around it. I've seen people deal with it. I've seen how it changed people. I've seen how it matured people. And then I've seen the bad end of it and a good end of, like, not good end of it, but how they come out of it because of the more they talk about it, the more they share with other people. And just like my husband said, if you know anybody out there that's dealing with it and they feel scared or feel like they don't want to put out their family members who's been doing it to them, you know, speak up, man. Like, there's the only way that you can cure all of this is just really talking about it. I find myself talking on this podcast a therapy for me because I get to share things that I don't know that I'm holding in, you know? And it's not nothing serious, but it's just the more you talk about it, the more you speak up, it actually comes out and you don't hold anything in you. But someone very, very close to me or like people very, very close to me that deal with this specific thing. And when I spoke up, I remember getting disowned.
Scrutinized.
And I remember just being isolated from everybody else, not being a part of the family, or, man, why would you speak up? Why would you talk about those things, you know? But I think that our race are so traditional to a point where, like, it gets to a point where, like, we can't talk about those things. And either they don't want to hurt a certain person, but what about the person that's being done to it? Yeah, give me just 1 second. What about the person that's actually the victim? You know, it's not even about the person that's doing the damn thing. But I think because we're so conditioned to not talk about those things, it's a bad thing to talk about it. Let me tell you something. I wasn't raised out here. I was raised the Tongan way. And to really be open up like this and talk like this, it not only allow me to free myself to talk about those things, but I know that I'm touching lives out there because we even remember that lady that hit us up? Yeah. Just with her experience, it made me, even if it took one person.
Shout out to you.
And shout out to you.
We pray healing over you.
Yeah. And for her to just reach out and speak to me and my husband, that's step one of healing from it. Trying to talk about it and trying to reach out to somebody who can understand or hear. Because sometimes it's all about listening to people or, like, talking about it. So what do you got to say about that?
Yeah, I'm just going to touch up, like, to be clear about what I'm saying, because the solution is to open your mouth and stand up. Stand up and really not only say something, but say something before it happens to somebody else. Mm-hmm. But what I meant by normalizing is that from coming from the Tongan culture, and I'm not speaking for anybody else, because we sweep things under the rug to we don't talk about that, and it's tapu, once again, tapu meaning taboo. It becomes normalized that we can't talk about it because that's uncle or that's auntie or that's, you know, that's a high-ranking position that somebody represents. It doesn't matter. That's evil. It's fucking evil. It's evil to the fucking core. Mm-hmm. It cannot be. We don't stand for that. We don't condone that. We're not about that. It's a new day and age, and there's a light that's brighter than ever, that's shining, that's eliminating all the darkness in the world. And if you're not with that and you don't ride with this, well, then fuck you. You can turn this shit off right now because I'm very passionate about what the fuck I'm talking about. Stand up. Be a voice now.
Yeah, and you know what, as passionate as we both are, I do know there is a solution to it. It's just by talking and sharing it. Don't be scared, because there's you're just holding it, you're just covering it for yourself. Like, you're basically saying, like, do it to me. It's okay for it to be done to
me. Not that we're being insensitive.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be insensitive. I'm talking.
It's just as much condoning.
Because I've seen people who changed their lives for the worse. And so with that being said, man, like, I pray healing and I pray strength over whoever's dealing with it. To just speak up, man. Even if it's just you need someone to vent, we're here. This is what it's for. So
do the right thing before it's too late. Save somebody if you won't save yourself, please. Yeah. We pray over you. We're gonna just take another break, and I love you.
Love you too, babe.
And we love you too. Just be careful. Hey guys, sorry, just had to pray with my wife and take a second to breathe. Some old feelings were flaring up about somebody I really cared for. I don't want to get into it, but, you know, like we said, just be careful and we pray healing over you. For our topics left to discuss is secondary parenting, condoning, divorce, isolation, and the church. Babe, what would you like to speak on?
Divorce.
Okay, go ahead.
So divorce, you know, obviously I've said it in prior episodes. You know, I grew up in a broken family and my parents were, you know, were divorced when I was a young girl, of course, so I got sent back home. But I picked this because the only reason why I brought this up is that there's a lot of young parents out there that's going through that. You know, and I'm not knocking, like I said earlier, it's not to bring people's business out or talk about any specific people. This is just in general because of how I grew up, what it molded me to be, and what I don't want to be. And when I see all these young couples who are just lack of, I don't want to say knowledge or just
understanding,
it breaks my heart because as a young girl, I've always told myself I'll never be like that. You know, I'll find someone and I'll do my best to be the best wife, you know, and make sure that my kids don't go through what I went through. But you know, in life, sometimes you can't control everything. Things happen on its own, and you can prevent those things if you just do the right thing, you know. And divorce for me was, it took me to a whole different level as far as growing up. You know, it did affect me in a way. There was good time, there was bad times, but for the most part, just not having my parents there physically and emotionally and mentally, it really did. It took a toll on me, you know, that when I become my own woman, when I become to finding someone who I truly love and have kids now, in the back of my mind, knowing that my parents were divorced, I didn't know how to come out of that mindset, I could say, or because my past got carried on, I was fearful of, oh shoot, like, is this the right guy? Am I gonna just go through the same thing my mom and my dad went through? And I think the most important thing is, like, what I've learned now after being with my husband for, I mean, we haven't been together for so long, but we've been together to where I'm able to see what is not good in a relationship and what's good. And so far what I've learned is that sometimes you have to know your place as a woman, you know, and you know, the physical things can happen in it and things like that, because even as a woman, women, it's themselves, we don't know how to be quiet. We talk so much that all we want to do is hear ourselves, you know. And I think when I got married and actually lived that life of being married, I am still learning. I'm not saying we're perfect. I'm not saying we don't go through our problems. But I think because I see it and I locate some of the things that I myself need to work in, and of course my husband do the same, I realize that you yourself, your happiness comes before anybody, even if you guys have kids with each other. You know, because I used to have the mindset of saying, like, what's best for my kids? But what if you're not happy? You know what I mean? What if you find yourself in a relationship that's toxic? What if you find yourself, you're in a relationship that the husband or the wife either cheating and they're just going back and forth? Now you're just messing it up, not only for yourself, but you're doing it for your kids as well. So I think for me, now that I'm learning and growing on it, is prioritizing your marriage and knowing what's important out of the equation, and then the kids, everything will fall in place. And that's what I have to say. I mean, there's more, but for the most part, that's what I have for divorce. What do you got?
I can't really speak from experience on this, except for, I guess from the outside party, the third person. Mm-hmm. I've never been under divorce. I've never been through a divorce, and I don't ever pray that over us. But I've witnessed divorce. Like more recently, you know, my auntie and my uncle, and I love them to death, and this is not me putting their business out there, but when they had announced to me that they were going through a divorce, it killed me because they were the mother-father pillars to me. And you know what? They did the best they could. And I And I revered them as my parents because I grew up in a single parent home. But when, you know, being as old as I am now and then getting the news that they were going through divorce, it killed me because I'm like, dude, man, to start over at this age, it's like, where do you begin? You know, everything that you just went through, everything, every memory you've ever built, every experience you went through, where do you go from here? And, you know, I only pray healing over them because I hope everything's okay. And I know God is watching over them. But even with my friends around me, you know, people that I grew up and hung around with, like a lot of, like divorce. Let's think about divorce at the root. Divorce is to divide and it separates. It's a down the middle situation in the home, in the house. It's not even just a broken home kind of, you know, cliche scenario, but divorce is to divide. And think about what goes with that. You know, this half, that half, what goes with that half, what goes with this half. What is left behind, man? And that's really what kills me. It's not even just, I know the majority of what is dealt with is the kids, their feelings, their emotions, their mental, their physical, and their spiritual is what they deal with when two parents that don't love each other. But the parents themselves, the husband, the wife, the groom, the bride, whatever the case might be, what are they going through that can cause this? Mm-hmm. Because if you're not prioritizing your spouse, you know, I'm not saying if you believe in God or not, hey, that's not my business. But I'm saying at least prioritize your spouse. Mm-hmm. You know, because I'm kind of scared when I see my friends around me that I have to divide myself away from them. You know what I'm saying? I'm not speaking on anybody specifically, but people that I've known close-knit, pretty close, I would just damn near consider them as cousins, are going through these situations. They're in the early stages of divorce, or they already went through divorce, and I'm witnessing that. And it's just sad because I never prayed that on, or wished that on anybody, but it's a real thing. And, you know, it's not that I don't believe in divorce. I understand two people can't be toxic with each other, but there's got to be more solutions than there are reasons to separate. And that kills me. That really just does. I don't have a clear answer or a solution to it. I just know that divorce is a very real thing, and it doesn't just divide relationships and families. It kills the love. It really does if there's no solution. Mm-hmm. So that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah. And just like my husband said, man, it becomes to a point where, like, you have to separate yourself from from certain people.
We love everybody. We're not speaking on anybody.
Not because we don't. But
no insensitivity.
But there's like a, it can rub off. Like, I believe that wholeheartedly. It's like you really gotta stick to like-minded people. You know, if the circle is, it's kind of like this. Let's put it this way: you have a bag of fruits. And one orange is mold. There's a mold on it, right? If you leave all those fruit, all the oranges in it, all of it is gonna get mold because that one mold, like that one molded orange. But I think what I'm trying to say is that if that one person is toxic in your circle, you gotta remove yourself, whether if you love them or not. That's you doing a favor for yourself. So that's all I got to say about that.
Okay, I'm done. I'm good with that.
I'm good with that.
Thank you. And, you know, I just pray more healing over you and
healing
your family.
Yeah. Thank you, babe. Same to you.
So my wife chose divorce. I'm going to go ahead and choose isolation. And what I mean by isolation is this is just personal to me. And this is definitely speaking from experience. Man, more than anything, this is just beach talk right here. But I've always felt isolated, even around my peers, as far as my own kind of people, my own Tongans, my fellow Polynesians, fellow Pacific Islanders. I've always felt the black sheep, the singled out the group. I've always just felt different, weird, nerdy, geekish, whatever you want to call it, the outcast, the misfit. I've always been that guy. I can fit in with and blend in with many different crowds, but I belong to no one. You know what I'm saying? Majority of the time, most people will tell you that, dude, what's wrong with that guy? Who is that guy? What's with that guy? I'm that guy you hear about. And I'm okay with that. It's just, if you are an islander from the Pacific Islands or of origin, first generation born here, second generation, whatever the case might be, and you're listening to this, be you. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with you. You know what I'm saying? You're built the way you're built, and there's nothing wrong with you. Whether you be black, white, tall, short, gay, straight, it doesn't matter. You are who you are. Love yourself before you love anyone else. I'm telling you from experience that it can cause isolation from the real world, and then you become estranged and foreign to things, places, and people. And you don't want to do that. You don't want to isolate yourself like that, because I've done that. And it didn't bring me depression or negativity or anything like that of that nature, but I started to become disconnected from reality to a point where, and what I'm meaning by that is that I no longer kind of identified with being even human at times. Sometimes I looked at myself as a non-living organism, if that even makes sense. But just because you are Tongan doesn't mean you have to be the average Tongan. If you are a Tongan that, you know, adheres to different curriculums, such as if you read comics or watch movies, but you don't do sports, you don't sing and dance and all that, hey, that's fine, man. That is totally fine. Be you, be yourself, love yourself, and just understand that there are others just like you, and there's a place for you in this world as well. And I definitely condone you, and I hope and pray peace over you.
I don't have much to say about isolation, but I can't speak on...
Have you ever
on...
noticed that for me, though?
No, but yeah, that too. I've always the type that's always, you know, life of the party, or like, I'm always the one that's go with the crowd. But I'm not gonna lie, when everything hits reality, people don't really... I'm just really there for the life of the party. So I could see the isolation and how people isolated me as, oh, we only want to kick it with her because she's fun, or she's loud, or she's gonna bring light, because they can't do it themselves. But after that, they don't need me around, you know? And then I think that's why we're so... we balance each other out, or where we clicked, is that I see it with you. I'll bring my friends in and you know, I'll try to make it like where their partner click with you. But even at that, even them, they think you're weird, you know, or they think like, oh man, this guy's talk about comics. I mean, I even find
that's
it
just
funny.
The common thing,
no,
but there's other things.
There's
like
other things. I'm just giving. No,
I'm
just giving.
Weirding out the crowd.
I'm just giving an example, and I think a lot of people don't know how to approach certain things, or either they feel like you're too smart for them, or you're just no.
No,
this is just my view, and I think that's why me and you really don't have that much friends, because a lot of them aren't as real as we are. And I'm not saying like people are fake.
I think what you mean is they're not on what we're on.
Yeah, and the
not
only
like
no,
level
but
talk, but we're
even
on a
at
different
that
type of hype.
Even at that, like I'll give you an example. If I see something that it does just not, it annoys me with those group of people, I say it right then and there. I think another thing that I also, even you also do too, is like
lots of people like that.
Yeah, I'll vibe certain things within a certain group of people that we hang out with, and after that first time we all hang out, it's done. Like we don't hang out, or we don't hear from them, or people put up a wall when they're around us. But even for my husband, I see it a lot with him, because I'm more of the type like, I can, if you don't like me, don't like me. If you don't want to hang out with me, don't want to hang out with me. But with my husband, he's very reserved. You're very reserved, that if they don't approach you, or they don't talk to you, or they're not in the same thing that we're, you just, you're like, you won't even waste your time, you know? And I see that a lot. I think it can bring depression to people, you know? Because, like, when you're on your own, you think about those things, you know? But for you, I don't think you were depressed from it or anything like that.
I'm just trying to speak that if anybody is depressed, don't be.
Yeah.
Because you're
just
not
be yourself.
Alone. And it's just a day and age where I definitely live to this, is being different is okay.
Mm-hmm.
Being different is okay. So
I think it's probably the best. Being different.
Yeah. I'm okay with that.
Remember that song, I'm Keje? I'm just kidding. Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. Well, we're going to take our final break. No, sorry. We're going to take another break. When we come back, we'll dive more into the discussions.
Yep.
And, you know, we hope you're just vibing with this. Other than that, go get something to eat again. Hey guys, so welcome back. We are into the final part of our discussion. We have secondary parenting, condoning, and the church. Last we spoke on was isolation. So I chose that. Babe, what would you like
secondary.
To say? Secondary parenting. So this will probably be brief, but explanation behind this is plain and simple. And this is not just coming from experience. I think this is just general for everybody that's a parent or has a child that they're caring for. I don't watch your kids when they're around me. And what I mean by that is that I don't parent them. I'll take care of them as far as, you know, if that's my responsibility, if I have them with me. But if you as a parent are present, please do your parenting on your part. Because should I parent your kids in front of you, it's not going to be good. It is not going to be good. I'm not only very blunt, but if it should affect my kids in any way, I'm going to speak up and you're not going to like it. And I mean that in the most respectful way as possible. So that's what I mean. Would you like to speak on
that? Yeah, I never really, you know, secondary parenting to me, it was never like a big issue until I had kids. And I think even me growing up, not having to have my mom there and not having to have like a boundaries of who I respect, who I call mom. I call everybody mom, you know? Yeah. And now that I have my own kids, what my husband said is that I'm not going to parent your kids
if you're there.
You know, because let's be very honest. If you're there, why do I have to be the parent?
Yeah. You're there. I can understand if we're watching them.
Yeah, but if I'm watching them, like, I am their parents for the time being because you trust me enough to watch your kids. But I'm not going to do this thing where, like, because the way I parent my kids, my kids know. When it gets to a, when it becomes a problem is when things that I do with those kids and I don't do the same with my kids. Yeah. Meaning, I'll give you an example.
You won't treat the other different.
Yeah, because when I parent, I do parent the same. Yeah, like I have my little favorites with my kids, but for the most part, I'm not going to confuse my kids to thinking that, I'll spank you, but I won't spank the kids that I'm watching for the time being. You know, because it can confuse a kid. You know, like, why is mommy not hitting them? And they're doing the same exact thing that I'm doing, you know? And the reason why I refer back to my past is that a lot of the things that I dealt with was even at times I wasn't even in trouble and I still got the blame for it, you know? And they didn't do the parenting in a fair way, which I'm not. I'm over it. I'm just giving out an example. But for the most part, my kids, because I already have a routine and a parenting that it's already down and they know what's up, I'm not going to change it for someone else, you know? So that's what I have to say about it.
Yeah, basically, make parenting your primary responsibility.
Exactly.
Your primary responsibility. Mm-hmm. Because what I'm saying is that this applies to my cousins, my brothers and sisters, aunties and uncles, nieces and nephews, whatever, whoever I'm, you know, takes this to heart. Good. That's what I meant. I don't parent your kids different from how I parent my kids. And that's just how I love. I'm not trying to single anybody out or be rough around the edges with anybody. I love the way I love. It's just that when I'm with my kids, I don't want to teach them something different that I'm teaching these kids. Because the point is that I love my kids before your kids or anybody else's kids. And that's just the truth of it. So we want to make parenting primary. We're not putting anybody out or singling anybody out, no parents or anything. This is just more of an awareness. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? If you're doing it or if you know someone that's doing it, try to be more positive or try to be more progressive to the situation and be like, oh, maybe I should change this because that might be unfair to so-and-so. So,
and it's just doing it. That. And it's just doing it out of respect, you know? Yep. I would, because if I see you doing it, you best believe I'm going to say something, you know? So it's kind of like a respect thing where, like, this is my boundary. This is your boundaries. You're not going to do my kids like this because I'm here. You're not going to overrule what I already have seen. You know what I mean? Or have said to my kids. So that's all I wanted to say.
Okay. Yeah. So let's just try to do better as parents parenting primary rather than secondary. Mm-hmm. So I'm good with that. So you chose secondary parenting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go ahead and choose condoning. Choose condoning. And what I mean by condoning is that in this part of condoning, I do not, I mean, maybe I used to, I did it before because I was younger, you know what I'm saying? I was always with my boys and stuff. They did certain things. There was stuff I did condone because I was not only doing it myself, but it was just at the time I didn't have better understanding. I just had a lack of knowledge. But I do not condone cheating. I don't condone it. If you're my boy or whatever, you're doing it around me, you know, my sister, brothers, whatever the case is. I mean, I've grown from it. I'm not going to act like I've never done it. I've cheated on a few girlfriends, but being at this far in my life, I don't condone it. If you're cheating around me and I find out, or you come telling me some business about it, bro, straight up, hey man, get that shit away from me. Straight up, because that's a disease. That's more infectious than it is coronavirus. Because you start bringing that around, it changes the whole vibe, the whole mindset, mm-hmm. the spirit of our relationship. And it's like, dude, what are we built on? What is our relationship built on? You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about as far as an example, my boy, if you're doing something that's going to hurt you and your family, I can't condone it because that's negative. That's degrading, man. Like, I can't be a part of it. So, I mean, it's really short and simple, but I do not condone cheating, anything of that nature. So if you're cheating on your spouse or whatever, you know somebody that is, remove yourself from the situation because it can only end bad. It can only end bad. So that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah, and just like my husband said, we're like the last people to find anything out from people, yeah. because they already know the answer. We don't condone on those things.
Like I said, it's just an awareness thing. I'm not speaking on anybody.
Yeah, especially cheating, man. Like, you just put yourself in a deeper hole knowing that, man, if you're not happy in the relationship that you're in, and I'm not saying, like, go and divorce your wife or your husband. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that remove yourself, you know. Maybe you need a break, or maybe you're just not happy, or find a solution that it's going to change the whole thing. You know what I mean? Instead of continuing, and all you're doing is just not only abusing yourself, but also affecting the people that you love, affecting the family or what you got going on. So I myself disagree with that. I don't condone that. And like I said, a lot of times I don't find out things from my friends or any of my close family because I'm not saying it's happening on them, but it's just because I don't condone that. I don't agree with that. I disagree with that 100%. I don't care how toxic your relationship, and it's not for me to be insensitive, but just know that there's better route and better way to do things.
So yeah, I'm not gonna help you cheat. That's yeah. basically what I'm saying. I'm not condoning
yeah.
that.
Yeah, this chips so is really good though.
Anyways, moving on. I'm satisfied with that. You?
Yeah, I'm good.
Last but not least, the church. And what I meant by this is simply, I've come to an understanding now in my walk with Christianity that I no longer need to commit myself to the church as far as not just where I'm going to and I participate in, but speaking from experience, now that I've been in as far, I've learned a lot working in the ministry, and I've understood one thing now, that I can't help people if I can't help myself. So for me, my goal when I am in church is to strengthen my walk in Christ, my understanding in Christ, my spirituality in Christ. If I'm helping others and I'm not even equipped to help them, I'm only doing harm to them. So as far as with the church, I no longer need to be up of the church as far as with people. You know what I'm saying? I need to focus on myself and be with myself when I'm in church so that I strengthen my walk that much further with Christ. What about you?
Mm-hmm. I agree with you 100%. For me, I see the church first for me is my family. And just like you said, when we decided to do this walk, not decided, but when it was the right time, our walk, you know, become effective. And we're still baby in our walk at, you know, yeah. as of now.
We're taking our time.
And it's not saying like, oh, I'm not trying to get mature. No, it's just that there's a lot of learning and understanding that needs to come with it. And touching up on what you're saying, yeah, you're right. You can't help people if you yourself isn't. I know we deal with daily things, but to help someone else, if you don't get the help that you're looking for, you're just gonna kind of lead that person astray, and they don't even get a solution, anything like that. And I think for me, personally, for with my walk, the one thing that I've learned within the church is that there's a lot, and I'm not throwing people out or anything like that, are not there for the right reason, you know. And a lot of times it is when they're reaching out to people to help people, sometimes it isn't even helping those people. It's what they're really dealing with, you know. And the thing is like what I've learned that, you know, is if you really go for the right reason and you really focus on why you're going to the church and why you decide to have this walk, to be very honest, it shouldn't like sway your mind from things, you know what I mean? And for me personally, like with our walk and everything like that, I do know that because we're getting stronger with God and we're getting spiritually like fed and getting stronger, I know that eventually we'll help people, you know what I'm saying? So that's what I have to say about the church.
So real quick, what I'm getting at personally for me, and I hear what you're saying, mm-hmm. as far as on your end, me personally, so I've served in the church that I go to currently under my mentors, and one thing I've understood about ministry work, because I've never served in the church, this is the first time I've done it for at least a solid 4.5, maybe 5 months now, solid 5 months. And one thing is, when I got too close to the church, I got hurt. Not that they did it to me on purpose, but that's because I got too involved with helping the church, in the sense that I was trying to help people in the church that were already there longer than I was. So it wasn't my duty or my place. I wasn't even told by God to help these people. I just did it because I did it. I honestly don't know what my reasoning behind it was. It was just I thought I was doing something good to help these people without understanding that how am I to help these people when I never prayed about it, when I never spoke to God about it, when I never even really like, Jah the Almighty, please tell me how I can help these people. I didn't do none of that. And that was my lack of understanding. Now in the season I'm in, bro, straight up, it's about me, myself, and Christ. Mm-hmm. That's it. And if anybody should be hearing this, because I know, I mean, even if they are listening to it, for members from the church, is that, hey, this is not something we're going to have to talk about, because I understand how important my development in Christ is that it's to me, myself, and Christ. Mm-hmm. I am in a covenant with my wife under Christ, and I understand that we pray about these things, but I now know and I get it that I no longer need your approval, the ministry, or anybody else in the church, not even my mentors, to tell me what I pray about, because I have the understanding now that because I believe in him and I accept him and I receive him as my Lord and Savior, that I can speak to him directly. I no longer need anybody in the middle to do that for me, but I do understand we need understanding through our pastors and our teachers to build a stronger connection. I just now know I no longer have to get closer to people in the church if I don't need that relationship. It just brings me more peace. So that's where I'm at.
Babe. Yeah, I mean, you know, we have every right to feel the way we do, you know. And mm-hmm. then I think what you're basically saying is that
shout out to my mentors, man. Yeah, they do a great job of teaching us.
Man, we have the best mentors. I have to say that. And the reason why I'm saying that, we wouldn't be in this point to have the understanding that we have and the knowledge that we have now because of them. And I know it's through God they were sent to us, you know. Yeah. And with that being said, everything that you're saying, babe, like, you're... that's your walk. I can't tell you, oh, well, this is, you know. But through that, as long as you put God in everything that we do, I know for things will fall in place, you know, for what I deal with. But with that being said, I love you, and you know, you're doing a fantastic job, babe.
Thank you. I receive that. Well, I'm good with that.
I'm good with that, man.
So... that brings another close to another one of our installments to episode 9.
Yeah.
We just want to thank you guys for the ride and supporting us. Yes. And we love you guys if we don't tell you enough. And we hope this is affecting you in a good way. Mm-hmm. But we just pray peace over you.
Yep.
We just wanted to mention that if you're a sponsor looking for people to you know, be sponsored, hey, we're here. I'll send the podcast.
Thank you for the support, man.
And Census, we got ours done.
Yeah. We'll
get yours done.
Yes.
And once again, we pray peace. And above all else, Jah bless. Yee!